Lord, we just ask that you would bring us into your presence. I mean, we're in your presence, but we need to realize it. We just ask for you to quicken your word. Just bring it alive, God, inside of each one of us, so that you're able to bring us into the place spiritually you want us to be, to hear what you have to say to us through John 11. Thank you, Jesus. So this time we want to read through it, so let's just start in verse 1. Now I think we're just going to read the whole chapter there. How long is that? That's pretty long. No, I think we're going to go through, I don't know, we'll just see where we felt like stopping. Who wants to read? Somebody want to read?
I like to read.
John 11, 1.
Yeah. Here. We have to get back into serious mode here.
John 11, start with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Verse 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Verse 55. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him.
Okay. So just go back over and talk about those scriptures. You know, we talked about, you know, him having to give a faith word. We have to have a word, a now living word of faith from God. And then we have to hang on to it even in the face of everything against it. You know, the opposites are happening, and that in our pain, there's purpose. In verse 5, when you can't find the purpose, we trust his love. It says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So we know that he loved them, and yet he sent no word to them. He didn't give them any encouragement. He didn't go and heal. And then to his disciples, he said he will not die. And then he let him die. So when everything doesn't make sense, we're going through something and we're going, why would God do this? Why would he let me go through this? Why would he not come and help me? We have to remember and believe that he loves us and he has a greater purpose. There's a greater glory. I mean, if they could have known, if they only could have known in advance, if he heals my brother while he's sick, he'll get glory. But if he raises him from the dead, look at the glory that he's getting. You know, what a contrast. But their faith, our faith, has to show people that we believe in him when we don't see the miracle, when we don't know why we're suffering, what's going on. That's God's looking to say, do you trust my love? Do you believe I love you when you can't feel it? Do you believe I love you? You have to know that. Something else in verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in somewhere when we learned about Bible study, there's always a reason for what name comes first when people are being mentioned. Martha is mentioned first. Mary doesn't even get a name. Martha and her sister. And that's when Martha began to jump out to me, because I realize I'm Martha. And that has bothered me tremendously, because we go back and we read that Martha was busy about many things, you know, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus just worshiping, and Martha complained about it, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part. I used to be able to get up and just sit at his feet for hours, and then he puts you in places and times where you're busy, and you're so busy. And then I go, I'm being a Martha, and I don't want to be a Martha. I want to be a Mary. I want the good part, you know. But I want to notice something about Martha all through this story. Martha had changed what she was busy about. She had learned from that, and something changed in her, because she had that active, strong faith. Mary didn't come. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Mary had been discouraged, crushed. Jesus had basically let her down. He did not do what she thought he would do. She was disappointed in him. She thought he would come, and he didn't. So she is just now crushed. She's grieving. She's disillusioned. She's depressed. She's become dysfunctional. She is dysfunctional. She heard that Jesus was coming, and she did not go to meet him. She stayed in the house. Now, when Martha ran out to meet him, she had a kind of faith that says, Jesus, even now. I know even now. Just say the word. It's not too late. She would believe him for anything he would speak. She was ready to say, here I am. You're my hope. What are we going to do? But Mary didn't come. Jesus sent Martha back. He said, go get Mary. Tell her I want her. Well, Mary still loved him. And when she heard him personally say, come, she came. She came to Jesus in her grief, in her discouragement. She couldn't come and stand up and say, come on, give me a word. She came and fell down at his feet. All she could come for was, comfort me. I don't understand. I just need you to comfort me and heal me. She didn't have any hope of her brother living. She just said, here I am, crushed. Now, he couldn't move through Mary at that moment in time, but he could move through Martha, because Martha was ready. Burning bush, everything in this chapter, because this is what God told me to go and look at right after he gave words for burning bush. So we have to relate the whole story to us. Who am I going to be in 2015? Am I going to be Mary when hard things come? Am I going to fall down? I'm sorry. I never had to preach at a table watching my husband try to get every drop of his drink.
Well, I thought it was cool. He looked through the straw to make sure.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yum, yum, now yum. That's over with. Oh, it's real hard to be serious when you're being comical, you know?
Good to the last drop.
So am I going to be a Mary? Am I going to say, what I'm going through is just hopeless. There's no hope, and I'm crushed, and I'm defeated, and I can't take it. And it's okay, because if that's where anybody in this building, anybody in this ministry is at, Jesus will still say, just come, let me hold you, go ahead, fall down at my feet, be crumbled, and just let me love you and heal you. There's going to be people among us, maybe one of us, maybe all of us, that'll be at that stage, and we need to be compassionate and say, I'm not asking you to get up and teach. I'm asking you, let's just hug this one, love this one, let him pour love on them and heal them. But some of us are going to come through, and we're going to be having that expectant faith. I don't care what I see going on. We're right on the edge of glory here. We're right at the door of something big happening. And I don't care what I see. I don't know what he's going to do. But I am looking into that darkness, and I expect to see light. I am opening my eyes into what's seeing nothing, and I expect to see something. I'm looking for the revelation. I'm going to be a Martha. I'm going to run right after Jesus and say, even now, what are you trying to do? I'll believe you for it. I hope I get to be a Martha. It's the first time I ever wanted to be one. How will God be glorified? You see, he's glorified when he raised that dead man, but he was glorified in Martha and Mary during their pain. He was glorified because they still loved him. And they still came.
It's like you holding on to that. That's my house.
Yeah, that's my house. That's right, that's my house. Pain with purpose, reason for our suffering. You know, we're going to go through some things anyway. Things are going to happen in this world, in America. There's going to be devastations. You know, when that tornado hit, we could have said, why didn't God protect this building? Why did it hit our building? We're supposed to be God's people. Why didn't he send angels and protect our building? Why did it tear our building up? But we're not saying that now. Now that we got, what, $55,000 of... $155,000 of remodeling here. We're the best looking building on the strip. Now we see the glory. But you got to praise him before you see the glory. That's when he's glorified in us. When we believe beyond the possibilities of what we can see. When he said the sickness is not unto death but for the glory of God, and then he let Lazarus die, he didn't heal him while he was sick. And we're in a time where everybody wants to say, I am not sick, and I'm not going to be sick, and I don't accept sickness. Well, sometimes we are allowed to go through sickness, even death, because he's going to be glorified in a different way. And we need to be moving with him in these situations. And I've had people say, you don't need to go in surgery. You don't need to have this hernia fixed. It's going to be healed. You don't need to go there. But when God said, you're about to live the prophecy, either I'm going to go through the pain and he's going to glorify himself, or even if I went through death, you know, how lucky would I be? Man, I get to be the Lazarus. Y'all come get me up. And I wouldn't have any pain. Go into surgery and come out maybe 20 years old after a heavenly visitation and not have to have the pain after surgery. That's even better, you know? I like that. That's a win-win situation, yeah. I already, you know, I guess I've gone in surgeries that were more life-threatening. This isn't life-threatening, but you never know. I mean, I've been through all the medical pre-tests. I'm fine. My heart's good. They could open me up and say, whoa, cancer, we didn't know that, you know. You don't know what's going to happen when you go in. And I've gone in before where I was sure I wouldn't come out alive. And I'm picturing these out-of-body experiences people have, spirit hovering over, and you know, like my sister. And God said, you don't have to go back. But she saw her daughter crying and said, she still needs me, and she came back into her body. Now, Lloyd Lodgins, we went there to call him back, and God said, he's not coming back because he doesn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I was the one that had to speak it. You know, everybody's saying, Lloyd, you're going to live. Lloyd, you're going to live. And God's telling me, no, he's not because he doesn't want to. I'm going, oh, yay. You know, I'm the one in the room gets to call this off, you know. But you know how hard it would be? Man, there you are in spirit with Jesus. You're going,
love
Yeah.
The whole part of what God has.
Right.
A little bit of sight into it, but not
right.
A whole lot. How do I think it would come?
Well, I had a vision like 25 years ago where I went into a diamond room. I was inside of a diamond room, and I could see through these facets little glimpses in heaven, just barely little glimpses in heaven. And I went, why can't I go in there? And he said, it's not your time yet. It's just like a holding tank. You can't enter all the way in. So I always thought I was going to die and get raised again because of that vision, you know. That's fine with me. Harvey's not cooperating with that, but... Janiyah said yesterday, I said, now you know the deal, Janiyah. You're the one that's got all the faith. You're not going to let me die. But you have to wait. Walk with Jesus. Wait on his timing, you know, when that time comes. She said, no. They tell me you're dead. I'm walking in that room and you're getting up right now. And I said, you can't choose that. You have to wait for that right now word from Jesus, you know. But yeah, anytime you're going anywhere in surgery, you start saying what ifs, you know. But, you know, it's not harder than the one that dies. He's got to come back because he's got a head. You're right. Got to get it cut off one day. You know, the other thing we don't hear about, and this is really cool, because, you know, we got Mary and Martha grieving, but Lazarus is the one that had to go through sickness. He was suffering. He was, who knows what kind of pain he went through, and then he died. He had to go through experiencing death. And we don't hear any more about him, except that in chapter 12, they prepared a meal, and Lazarus was at that meal eating with them. They got to talk to him. We don't get to know that. It's not like the little boy that just went to heaven and came back and told everybody. Not one word about what Lazarus saw and experienced in Scripture. That was his. He got a great reward. He's the one that, where'd he go for 4 days? What did he experience in those 4 days, you know? Yeah, what was his life like? We do know that when they got all stirred up and they're going to kill Jesus, they said, we better kill Lazarus too. You know, so he might have died again right away. Who knows? We don't find out where that led. But those 4 days, what kind of glory did he experience that was personal and they didn't even print it? Amazing. Pain with a purpose. They lived through it and we see how God was glorified. But when we're in the midst of ours, we won't be able to see how it's going to turn out. But we have to learn to trust him during the pain. Got to hang on during that time. That's what our word said. Cuddle up with him and see the light before you can see the light.
I got an illustration of that.
Get the mic on so we can hear it. We can hear it.
Got an illustration. I don't know if you guys all heard of Dottie Rambo. She wrote a lot of Christian songs and stuff like that. And she had a back surgery, and it was almost like a butcher took and cut all her nerves apart and all that stuff. And so she had to go get a resurgery done, and she couldn't have no medication or nothing like that because she had to be able to, when they put this together, that she could feel that. So she had to go through that. But then God says, don't cry one tear. And she sank all the way through it.
Wow. Cool. In verse 7, it's finally time to go. And Jesus, first, you know, everybody's like, why don't we go? Why don't we go? Why don't we go heal her? And why doesn't he come? Now in verse 7, he says, let's go. And his disciples say, well, we can't go there. Don't you remember? They want to kill you in that city, so we can't go there. And then Jesus gives them strength by saying, the day has 12 hours of light. Walk while you have light. And he is the light. So if we walk in the light of God's presence, we can't get him to do what we want. We can't say, I'm going over here. Come on, Jesus, do this. But if we stay really close to him and walk in his light, we don't stumble. But he says, if you walk in darkness, you'll stumble. Man, if I stumbled over the faith thing in trying to get him to do what I think he ought to do, and then I just look stupid because nothing happens. You know, saying, I believe, believe all you want. If he didn't say he's doing it, he's not.
Right.
You know, but we have to be walking with him. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." That I love that verse. Wait only on God. My expectation is from him. That word expectation is so amazing, because when you look it up, it actually means my attachment, my life cord, my lifeline, all my hope, the thing I long for. But it's like a baby in a womb with a life cord. Jesus is our lifeline. He's our life cord. We have life and nothing we do unless he's pumping that life in. Hang on to the life cord of Jesus and you'll see life happening. When we get a hold of this great love of God, the reason we have to get a hold of it, this love, which is so powerful, when you experience it, when you can feel how much he loves someone, you won't have any problem believing what he wants to do for them. That makes it believable. This morning when he was loving on DPJ, I could have believed him to do anything for that man. I saw so much love of God on him. God could have said anything to me he wanted to do for him, and I'd have believed it. Because I knew how much he loved him. So see, when we grow in the love of God, we won't have trouble with the faith part. We've got to grow in the love part. I love it in 11 and 12. It was Psalm 62:5. I love it in verse 11 and 12 of John 11. When he says, he's just sleeping, let's go wake him up. To him, death is just like sleeping. Hey, wake up! I like that. When we come to the resurrection power, realization of that, we will be raising dead just like telling people wake up. Now, there are some people that are harder to wake up. You know, that alarm goes off and they hit snooze and hit snooze and hit snooze. Hopefully we can, you know, shake them out of their sleep. Okay. I got a little out of order here, but when Jesus says, and this is the coolest verses in the whole thing, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. You know, he could have stopped right there. He did with Moses. Who am I going to tell the people you are? And he said, I am. I am everything. I'm life. I'm power. I'm love. I am. He said, I am the resurrection. Man, I am lives inside of me. The great I am. Life is inside of me. Resurrection power is inside of me. Deliverer. Yeah, there was prophecy involved with Moses. But I like it when he said, I am. I am. I am life. I am the resurrection power. How real is he inside of us? He's going to become more real in us. Yeah. And when he says to her, when he says, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Triple negative. Never in any way going to die. Do you believe this? She gave him all she had. And this is where we've been living. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. That is where we have been living. That's what we believe. We have a hard time believing the resurrection power that he wants us to believe this year. I'm excited because he said this is for this year. That's where we're going this year. Philippians 3:7 through, I don't know, 11. Yeah, I think through 11. Paul says, things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. There's a purpose in the loss. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Stop right there. The excellency of the knowledge, the knowing, the experience of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything we may lose or go through is like nothing compared to the excellency of the experience of Christ Jesus, our Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. We need this attitude this year. I don't know what's coming for me personally, each one of us. But it doesn't matter what I lose. It doesn't matter what I suffer. It is nothing compared to what I'm about to gain in experiencing Christ. It doesn't compare to what I'm about to grow in the knowledge of Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We'll stop there again. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. This has got to take the effort out of our religiousness, our service this year. I'm trying, but I fail. You will. I have thoughts I don't like. You'll always have them. Oh, but I do this over and over and over, and I want to live for God, and I want to do better for God. I want to feel better. I want to think right. I want to love more. All our righteousness is of the law. It's of the list of things we want to do better, the things we want to feel that are different, the us that we want to be for God. We got to let that all go. Our righteousness is never anything. But as we love Him and know Him and experience His love, depending on His righteousness, this life, righteousness, holiness, God inside of us, just step out of the way. It's Him. You know, He told His disciples, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Only God can remit sins, forgive sins. He said, I am giving you the ability to forgive sin. How can He do that? Huh? His life is in you. What'd you say, Rick? Him in us. Because of the blood of Christ, we as His people can apply that blood to everybody. With the sins against us, with the sins that take them into sickness and death. Because He's in us, we can take, see, it is sin that brings death. Sin brings death. So if you want to bring healing of sickness, you want to bring raising the dead, you've got to get that sin out of the way that kills people. And He gives us the ability, because His righteousness, His blood, covers that sin. You know, there's no law. There's no reason for them to be dead. Yeah. Yeah. Give him a mic.
So my question is, I mean, like, for all of us sitting here, who really believes that you can forgive sin?
That's what he asked Martha. Do you really believe it?
And I'm just saying that because the first time I heard that, I thought, oh, that's blasphemy. Like, I didn't believe that.
I know.
Like, so where does that come from? So should we, I don't know.
Let me tell you where it comes
from. We kick that around for a minute.
Let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from John 6.
No, I understand what I'm saying. I mean, I've been in ministry.
I know.
And I never got
that. Harvey, turn to John 6. And it's 51 through
63.
Because when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, eat my flesh, devour, nurture yourself, chew on what I lived in the flesh. Because He had a flesh body just like us. He still has a flesh body. Us. He's still stuck with a flesh body and all the hindrances and restrictions of flesh, which means everything he did in that flesh body, he remitted sins and he raised the dead. Now we come to what Harvey tried to steal earlier. I want to do things, but I'm still stuck in flesh body, yours, in yours, in yours. And I am still resurrection life in you. And I want to raise the dead, but you can't believe me for it because you aren't righteous. But I am, and I'm in you, and I want to do this, but my body won't let me. My body, you're my body. So if Jesus could get in that flesh body and raise the dead and forgive sins, he can get in this body and forgive sins because it's still him doing it, not me. It's still him doing it, not me. But I got to let him. I got to stop being hindered by what I think of me. I have to stop being hindered by looking at my righteousness, trying to be righteous, so that I can look at him and say, oh my gosh, righteousness, holiness, power lives inside of me. Why don't I unleash him? I know I'm preaching what he's been showing you guys. I can see your heads are nodding. Well, yeah, you see that?
I just wanted to slow down for a minute because
Harvey and I have been going over this for days, and we've gone through it slowly, talking about different parts.
I just wanted to talk about it because I honestly believe I'm not being judgmental. I mean, I've recently come to that knowledge. And because I thought, you know, it was trash. And so the reason I wanted to stop and slow down is because I feel that there's probably some of us sitting here going, what? And I think we need to talk about it and be real.
Yeah. It's exactly why he said to Martha, which was put in Scripture to say it to us, I'm telling you a powerful, awesome reality. It's even more real for us than for her. He didn't live in her yet. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? Because if you did, you wouldn't even have to die. And anybody who's dead wouldn't have to stay dead, if you get that.
More importantly, you have the power to forgive sin. See, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't need to keep going back there, but I'm telling you, man, that will revolutionize your thinking.
Let me throw one on top of that.
Yeah.
Don't they have to be sorry? Don't they have to repent? Don't they have to want it?
Yeah, let's go.
Huh?
Let's
what did go Jesus say on the cross?
I'm ready. Let's
Father,
go.
Father, forgive them because they know not what they do.
I think we all need to understand this.
Yeah. They weren't even sorry yet. And when somebody sins against us, they don't have to be sorry before we forgive them. They weren't sorry for crucifying him. Get it on.
So let's go even further. And what if Roxanne came to you with a sin she had? And you're talking about it, and you tell her, well, because of Jesus who lives through me, I can forgive that, right?
What I tell her is, are you bringing your sins to Jesus? Because he always says, yes, you're forgiven.
Right.
When you bring your sins to Jesus.
Right.
If she's bringing her sins to Sue, then no. Sue cannot forgive her. I forgive her in the name and power of Jesus in me when she brings them to Jesus. There's your difference. You cannot go to the priest and confess to the priest, expecting the priest in his own person to have power. See, we have no righteousness. He just said it. Paul said it. Not having my righteousness, but having his righteousness. In the name of Jesus, if you tell me you're bringing your sins to Jesus, then I, in his name and in his power, say, yes, you are forgiven. Because he always forgives everyone who brings their sins to him. I have power to forgive every sin against me personally, but it's still by the blood of Jesus. I can apply his blood because he said so. I can forgive every sin against me. Every sin against him, I can forgive in his name if you're bringing it to him. Yeah, throw it out there. Who wants to comment? Harvey's eyes are bouncing over there.
John 20, verses 22 and 23. I'm sorry, go back to verse 21.
Yeah. It starts in 19 through 23.
Would you like me to read it then?
Yeah.
Okay. John 20, verse 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
And that wasn't true until they received the Holy Ghost. So now, again, you're moving with Jesus in partnership with Jesus. You're speaking on letting him speak through you. It is actually him living through you, speaking through you. It is his blood. His blood is the only power of forgiveness. His blood applied to sin. So now it is Jesus in you. Roxanne wants to come to me and say, I have all kinds of sin. Can I just go, you are forgiven? No. She needs to know she's bringing them to Jesus. So the blood of Jesus. So I have to say to her, Jesus provided the forgiveness through his blood. And if you accept that, right now, your sins are forgiven because of the blood of Christ, because you're bringing them to him. Now, if you sinned against me, I can forgive you for what you did to me. I have that personal power. Go on, you're making faces. What do you want to say? But it is the blood.
Yeah. I understand that.
To God be the glory. See, everything is to God be the glory.
Yeah, and I'm totally in that context. I'm just saying, right. I have, if God's flowing through me, then he's, number one, he's not a respected person. Number two, I mean, I'm a saved in by the blood that's flowing through me, by the blood of the Lamb, by his blood. I'm covered in that. Well, where's my cutoff point?
People have to come to Jesus, not to you.
Right.
See, there's the difference in, there. I have no righteousness,
right.
But he does. Whatever he is doing. We're talking the blank check again. People that want to go to Scripture and say, because he healed, I can go heal everybody.
Right.
No, you can't. You got to walk with him and do what he's doing. He is in me. But people have to be coming to him, not to me.
Right.
And therefore, they have to understand, if you go back where he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? See, we can't just go, Roxanne says, I have a lot of sin. And I go, well, inside me, I know I got the blood of Christ. So, okay, you're forgiven. I haven't even told her about Jesus. She can't call on him because she doesn't even know about him.
That's a scenario, I'm just...
it's got to come down to being about Jesus or it becomes of man. And then
I'm absolutely... And that's the spirit I'm talking from.
To the person coming.
You all know me. I mean, I'm not Jesus. Yeah. I know that. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to convert something other than what I'm saying is it's powerful, but how do you keep that? I don't know.
There's got
how do you
to
keep
be...
that?
Let me read you something. The apostles was talking about John 20:23.
Okay.
Talking about John 20:23. The apostles received from the Lord the doctrine of reconciliation. And the doctrine of condemnation.
Doctrine of, yeah.
They who believed on the Son of God, in consequence of their preaching, had their sins remitted. And they who would not believe were declared to lie under condemnation.
You know, we bring it down to a little experience here too, Nate. Some people come even hearing, but they don't really trust in Christ. They don't. You know, they come and they come and they come and they come and they say, I feel so guilty, I feel so guilty, I'm not forgiven, I don't feel forgiven. I confessed, I said I believe in Christ and I still feel the burden, I still. And then all of a sudden one day, they come and they get it. He died for me. He paid for me. And they come and suddenly the Spirit has quickened it to them. Now they get forgiven and they know it and the burden is gone. See, forgiveness is more than just a word. It's an occurrence that happens. That sin has actually been taken off them, and they feel that burden lifted. But it's because they didn't just call on his name. They actually came to the person and experienced him taking it. So we are here to bring them to Jesus, period. So we're not talking about a power he gave us, an ability he gave us, a function he gave us. You have the right to go and remit sin. Oh, thanks for that power. I can go out because your blood's in me and say, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. No, we're talking about bringing people into the experience of the meeting of Jesus. We have to bring them to encounter Jesus. It's not just a power. Healing is not just a power. He put it in our hands. Go heal everybody. What's the sense of that? Bring them to Jesus. When they encounter him, they'll get that healing. It's always about bringing them to an encounter with him. He's got to rise up in us. We got to get the eyes on him.
And I completely understand that. I do. I'm just feeling for me, I'm missing something.
Well, let's go on, because that's not the biggest point here. Yeah, okay, that was a side point. And the reason I brought it in is because how are you going to raise the dead if sin killed him, if you don't deal with the sin? Yeah. Well, because of Jesus, the sin gets dealt with.
I don't know what has happening to me, but I'm somehow coming into more light, and I'm finding out that there's way more than even I've been taught. I'm not in it yet, but I just have this more thing inside of me that goes, man, dude, I don't think we're hearing the whole story, you know? And like, so I don't know, you know, a subject like that comes up and I go, I feel like I'm missing something.
Let me put
something.
That subject aside for a minute so that we keep our focuses on this resurrection power. This resurrection power. Because as we keep going in Philippians 3, Everything is count that I lose doesn't matter, so that I gain this knowledge of Christ. There's a knowledge and understanding and a learning that we're going through here today, and we're going to go through this year. And there's an experience in Christ we're getting ready to go through this year, and it may take loss of things to get there, so that we're found in him. And when we're found in him, we're going to find him living through us. Now, this goes on to say in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is what this year we're looking for. We're going to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. We want to come to the place when he says, do you believe me? We're going to go, I believe you. Man, I believe you, so believe you. It could happen right this minute. My doubts are gone. I believe it. Because now I know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You see how connected they are? Power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He had to suffer. He had to lay down his life. He had to take pain. He had to suffer. But there was a glory beyond the suffering. And there's a glory for burning bush beyond the suffering. There's a glory for each one of us beyond what we're suffering. It says there's purpose in my pain. There's resurrection power coming. There is a knowing, experientially, this love of Christ that is beyond me even explaining it. He says in verse 11, well, fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. 11, if by any means, haven't we all said that? Whatever it takes. By any means, God, whatever you have to do to me, whatever it takes in my life, by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul already knew he would be resurrected in the last days. Remember, Martha said, God, I already know. I know we'll all be resurrected. I know my brother will rise in the resurrection of the last days. Jesus said, now. There's a resurrection power now. And Paul said, he already knew there was the last days. He said, I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. He meant now. He wasn't looking for last day faith. He was looking for it now. He knew something. He did not get it. Look at all that Paul got, but he did not get this. Yes. And we didn't get it yet, Nate. There's the problem.
I have a theory in my head.
Yep.
Well, you can call it truth, too. But it's like, I just know there's more than I'm getting.
There is more. And you hear what I'm saying? This is God's word to us this year. This is for now. Paul didn't get it. He wanted it. He didn't fully get it. Mary didn't get it. She wanted it. She gave him, I believe you're Christ, Son of God. I don't believe that the dead can raise right now. She didn't go around and raise any dead later. Paul didn't go around. I think he raised somebody, but maybe one. We are in a time when we are going to know something experientially. They didn't get yet. And God said, this is for burning bush.
That's right.
Do you get that? Those things that we want more. It's resurrection life in Christ in us. We are going to be able to say, I believe it for now. Not for a someday. We have to get out of that someday faith. We all have that. Someday there's going to be youth renewal. Someday the dead are going to raise. Someday millions will get saved. Come on, let's start having a, I could believe it for right this minute.
And see this?
That's where he's taking us. Yeah.
That's what God's been doing in me. Like, I'm totally flipped out all the time. There's just more, man. I don't even know how to tell you. I can't even. And I'm sick of being stupid.
We are stupid. I mean, we are stupid. You know, your friend Daryl said to Harvey, God is about to show you things about himself that is going to make you ashamed of what you think you knew about him.
Yeah.
It's going to make you ashamed of what you think you already know. You're going to be embarrassed
for
what you think you know of God compared to what you're about to know about God.
I got to tell you.
You do.
Listen, this is not about me, but God gave me a word to give to that group. You need to repent for what you think you know about God because we can't move forward.
Right.
Dude, that has so impacted that whole, their Facebook and then email and then like all their friends. It was such a rough, and what I'm saying is like, that's where I want to live.
Exactly. That's where we're going, brother.
Like,
that's
I'm tired of knowing what I know.
That's where
it
we're
don't
headed.
Work. And no, I shouldn't say that. Even in the truth that I'm in, dude, there's so much more. That's what I was trying to say.
This chapter has been on me for 25 years, like in my hand, trying to close my fingers on it and can't own it. And now God says this is the chapter this year.
And you know, another thing I told you a little bit, I've said things, but another thing I'm tired of is excusing my ignorance, trying to explain why this didn't happen and why that happened. See, it takes us down a road, is what I'm saying.
But
one thing leads to another, to another,
to
another.
It couldn't happen until he's doing it.
Right.
He's getting ready to do it now. He's got to get us ready to believe it, because now he's getting ready to do it.
I think that's part of what's going on. It's a faith-building thing that he's putting on us right now.
Hand that up.
Right.
Nate, hand that up to Rick. Rick was... There you go. And then she can be heard on it, too.
I believe it's a faith-building thing that God is putting in us right now for what's to come in the future.
Exactly. That's the exciting part. When he says, now you've got to have that faith. Why do we need it now? Because he's getting ready to do it. And He needs a body that can believe what he wants to release. And he's saying it to Burning Bush. Wow.
Well, it's like when we were going through that lesson and the teaching about climbing up that ladder to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, we're to that next level. We just got to walk into it now.
Right. Everybody's at a next level from wherever they're at. That's exciting, too. It's exciting that Mary could go fall at his feet. That's exciting, you know? But I don't want to fall at his feet. I want to get up there like Martha and say, just say the word. I'm ready to believe it.
Yeah, Mary still believed and trusted.
Exactly. Now, we got to keep coming back to all of this functions by love. His love, agape love. He loved them, even though they were disappointed in him, and he had to let them feel that. But when he got there, he wept. He already knew he was going to do something about it, but he wept because they were grieving. It said he was, when he saw how grieved they were, he was stirred. His love got stirred. You know, when God's love gets stirred, something's about to happen. But he wept with them because they were grieving. You know, I have to learn from that because I'm a fixer. I don't see wasting time crying over something. Let's just take care of it, you know. What do you want to sit there and cry about it for? I'm telling you, here's the truth and here's the solution. Fix it and you won't have any reason to cry. I am just a fixer. Let's get to the solution. And then my friend comes along years ago and says, you got to weep with them first. You got to hug them and comfort them. I don't need comfort if we get out of the problem. Why do you want to hang around in the grief, you know? But Jesus grieved with them because even though he had the solution, he understood what they had been going through, what they were feeling. The suffering he had to allow them to go through first mattered, and he took time to weep and to grieve over how he had to let them suffer first. When we're going through the suffering part, we can't just go, yay, suffering for Jesus again. Yay, there's glory at the end. Oh, I'm happy today because this is that I might attain to know him more. Those truths put purpose in the suffering, but suffering is still suffering. Suffering still hurts, and he grieves with us during the hurt. He grieves because we have to go through the hurt part. He doesn't like it. I mean, when you have to take your child in and have them cut something out of them because they fell in a pricker bush and you're going to pull them out, you know there's a solution. We're going to get those prickers out of your hand. You're going to feel better. But they're going to hurt while they're getting them out. And you care. You don't like to see them suffer. He doesn't enjoy our suffering. Song of Solomon says, 8:6, love is strong as death. You know there is nothing else as strong as death but agape love. Now, if we don't get hearts that are willing to bleed with other people, we won't allow that depth of God's love because we don't want to feel grief. We don't want to feel their suffering. We have to say, God, rend my heart so that you can feel, so that you can love. And that love can grow to the equal power of death. A love as strong as death is only God's love, and it works by faith. Back to it's Jesus in us, though. 1 Corinthians 15:54. This is where we're headed this year. And I just pray, God, I want this to happen. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, when I, Sue Hampton, have put on Jesus, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, this weak little flesh has put on God, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, 55. Where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. There's the word.
Hey, Joe. I'll call you back when the meeting's over, okay? All right. Okay. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
That all ends with, for the Lord has spoken it. For the Lord has spoken it. Whatever he says, he can do and he will do. We're coming into that faith. What is he saying? What is he saying to us? He will speak. What did he say in those words to us this coming year? They're real. He said them, so they're going to happen. He spoke them. Read them. Write them. Hold them and claim them, because he said them for Burning Bush. They're going to happen. He will speak to those who will believe him and speak his words in faith. Yeah, they're not only to us, but they're through us. And that was awesome this morning, that Nate called for prophecy and that God did all that he did because some of us let him speak. And he did those things. He did them, and it was so awesome to see that happening. But it was just a prophetic show, a prophetic vision, a tiny glimpse of what he's getting ready to do in saying, I will speak to anyone who will speak for me what I say. But why would I tell you what I want to say if you won't say it? We got to get willing. Get out of our fear.
As Judy just said, at the end of verse 8, Isaiah 25, for the Lord has spoken. There's our expectation.
No, why aren't you talking to Mike?
Isaiah 25:8 ends with, for the Lord has spoken it. As Judy just said, there's our expectation. We're expecting to see life where there's death. We're expecting to see light where there's darkness. We're expecting to see something where there's nothing. Our expectation.
Go back a minute to the suffering that precedes the miracles. I told Harvey last night, because we just got this and we were saying it back and forth, and it was just so awesome. When you're in the darkness, accepting it and saying, this is for his glory. Glory be to God. And this is my worship to you. Praising him, trusting him, obeying him, accepting him. This is worship unto you, God. Glory be to God. I want Burning Bush to become known for saying that. What is this person that's over here losing everything they owned and they're going, glory be to God. Glory be to God. He's got a good reason. I'm suffering for a reason. There is purpose in my suffering. Glory to God in my suffering. I'm going to praise him, trust him. Tell other people, my God is good. Well, then why is he doing this to you? I don't know, but I trust him. Glory be to God. Whatever he's asking of me, this is my worship unto him, accepting it. I want us to be known for that. Glorifying God and accepting whatever comes. The harder it is, the worse it is, the nastier it is, the higher worship he receives it as, the sweeter fragrance it is to him, as worship unto him. Let's make a year of glory to God and as worship unto him. Because at the end, we're going to see that glory.
Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yep. You know, some people that saw these miracles, we've seen miracles. We have seen God do some things before. Some people followed even weeping Mary, even though she was grieving, because she took her grief to Jesus. They followed her. They didn't even know where she's going. they ended up seeing it and believing in Christ because they followed a grieving Mary. Where do you go when you're grieving? I run to Jesus. You're hopeless now. You've lost everything. No, I'm going to go fall at the feet of Jesus. Somebody's going to follow you. Somebody. We have influence. Someone, even when we're grieving and going, I'm hugging this pillow. Why are you hugging that pillow? Well, I'm just pretending it's God. I'm hugging God. I'm just asking him to, this is where I go when I grieve. I just run to God. He's my daddy. He'll hold me. Somebody's going to get to Jesus because you go to him in your grief. When you stand up and say, I don't care. God told me they wouldn't die and they died. I say, they're not dying. Well, they're already dead. No, that's just what you see. I see them getting up and living again. Really? Yeah, I do. You keep watching them. Just keep watching them. They're not dead. They're just asleep. Well, they're decayed and they're nothing but bones and they threw dirt and they're buried. I don't care. God said they're going to live. They're going to get up. My sister's already been dead. I don't know how long she's been dying. 15 years? 10, 20? I don't know. She's getting up. Because God says she's not going to die. She's just asleep. She's going to get up. You keep saying it. I didn't lose my house. I'm getting it back. God said so. You keep saying it. Be a Martha. Keep saying what he said no matter what you see. Somebody will follow you there. But some of them, they saw the miracles. They said, here's the man who opened the eyes of the blind. Why didn't he prevent this guy dying? They mocked him. And then he raises the dead and they see it. And they run to the Pharisees and say, uh-oh, people are going to follow him instead of us. And they go, oh, don't worry, we'll kill him. When he begins to do these things, persecutions come. Because the devil doesn't like it. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike. No, Nate, I call you Mike now because I always see that Mike in your hand. Mike, man, go for it.
I've been practicing the whole expectation thing, and what I want to say is this. I don't know what I'm expecting, but I'm expecting. And I think that's like the permission to move forward, is being in that realm. I think that's your permit. That's giving God permission to embarrass you. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know what I'm expecting.
If you didn't move on what you heard him say this morning, we wouldn't have had that service.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you.
I know what you're expecting.
Yeah, I'm just expecting God. Yeah. Yeah, the expectation. And yeah. Dude, I honestly think that, you know what? That's your big sign that says, God, come and make me look bad.
I don't care how I look. Come and don't let me show up. Don't know, even see
it's
me.
Giving him permission to move when we're in the expectation mode.
Yes. As long as you speak out what he brings that he's doing. Now, we're standing out there and you're saying, I think it's a prophetic day. And I'm going, I tried to just stay quiet all morning because I said, I got a lot to say when I do get my turn. So I'll just wait. So I'm just standing out there. I'm enjoying him, having a good time. You start going, it's going to be prophetic. And I'm going, if you say so, if you want to do anything, God, but I'm waiting my turn. And he says,
yeah.
Get a partner. He went.
And he drops it, man.
No, it's I'm like, going, oh you know, gosh. I want to go forward with that. What am I going to do with a partner? You know, which partner should I get? And he's like, one step at a time, get a partner. Okay, let me see. Who do I feel I should get? Leida kept coming to mind. So I just went, come on, you're going to partner me. I don't know what we're doing, but you're my partner, you know. And then he gives the next step, tell her to get her shofar. You know, one step at a time. We don't know where we're going. Just one step at a time. Go there anyway.
You know what? That way we include him.
Yeah, we have to keep depending on him.
Yeah.
Exactly. If we don't know what to do, we got to depend. One thought at a time, just keep depending. I know people out there this morning had words and they wouldn't speak them.
Right.
They were too scared that you might be wrong.
And you know as well as I do, that's where we're at. Yeah. God's waiting on us.
Well, he's preparing us, too, because he has a perfect time.
Right.
I mean, we're ready right here at this table now. We could raise the dead right this minute because we're all geared up. But there's not a dead person in the room, you know, at the moment. So there's timing. We could kill one of us, you know, and try it. Anybody, should we practice?
No.
You know? Oh, all right. I guess we have to wait on the Lord.
Our
See, we get double practice. First of all, we'd have to forgive the one that did the killing. And then raise the dead.
So that's what I
trip to glory.
I can tell you that I own what I'm saying. Like, just practicing that realm of expectation. And it's not about God doing things for us. Right. It's about Him showing up. It's about Him being God. And you just go, and you dabble in that, and you practice that, and it's like, I don't know. We could stand for 90 minutes and tell you about a million things. And I don't think, I'm just saying, I look back on my life. I asked that question the other day when we were at First Assembly, or I shouldn't say that, when we were at our church. It's like, we never got blessed. We never got gifts. We never walked in the supernatural. We never prophesied. We never, and I was thinking, like, why is that? And it's like, and it's not their fault. It's just I had no knowledge of this expectation thing. I had no knowledge of living there. And now, dude, it just flows everywhere you go. And that's all I'm saying. I thank you, Jesus, man. You know? Like, I've tapped into something that's so incredible.
I've been walking in the expectation of the word that God gave me for my children. Mm-hmm. He told me beyond a shadow of a doubt that my kids are going to be walking firmly in their callings. And I am expecting that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, let's look at something for a minute, because this is really important. Doubt seeds versus faith seeds. Why do we doubt? Why can't we have that resurrection life expectation right now? Why do we doubt? Why did Martha doubt? I mean, she's just standing there with Jesus, and she still said, I believe you're the Son of God, but life, calling the dead forth, I don't know about that. I don't know. I doubt it. And if you be honest, if somebody dropped dead on the floor right now, if you've been to a funeral recently, did you ever have the thought, I wonder if I could tell that person to wake up? We all did, didn't we? And didn't your heart go, no, I don't think God would do that right now. Not this person, not this time, not right now. We doubted it. So why do we doubt? He gave me this idea. These seeds of doubt have been sown in us. What we've physically seen.
Right. What came to mind to me was when Noah and the ark, that they'd never seen rain before.
Noah and the ark, they hadn't seen rain. He said, it's going to rain. And they go, I ain't never done that before, and I don't believe it. Water fall from the sky? Nah. Can't happen that way. It comes up from the ground. Secondly, what is normally expected? We have a normal, reasonable expectation. If they died, there was a good reason for it. So why would we expect them to come back alive? The fact that God could have prevented it, and he did not. That's why they were doubting that day. This man who opened the eyes of the blind, could he not have prevented the death? Why would I expect him to raise the dead? He could have just prevented the death. So we do give a lot of credit to God. In fact, we blame God. I have people all the time say, God could have prevented this. Why did God let this happen? I mean, you don't want to give God credit for all the good, but when something bad happens, it's his fault. He's powerful, all right. Why didn't he stop it? If God's so good, you know, you hear that all the time, don't you?
Yep.
If God's good, why do children suffer? And then there's our lack of understanding. We right. think we have to understand things. It's got to be reasonable. We got to, in our mind, figure out why he should do it, why he would. Then there's our inability. We doubt ourselves. Maybe I'm not hearing God. Why would he speak through me to do something like that?
Who am I?
Who am I? There was Moses. Who am I? Why would he speak through me? Judy?
That was the flaw
That's mine, too.
I have a problem that it's not actually God. And then he proves me wrong every time, of course. But sometimes I've missed the opportunity because of that. And even that, I have to give him glory in that because it's a teaching tool that I'm being taught more to trust and to recognize that it is God. Even though some little stuff, because I've had a lot of growth most of my life.
And then there's our inability to love to that degree. I mean, you know, we go, well, yeah, if it's easy in the next 5 minutes, I can get this person healed. But if I have to stay there for every day for a year, I mean, we read about people that went back every day to that hospital, day after day for a year, and then the person got healed. And I look at it and go, I don't think I love them enough to go every day for a year. You know, I don't have that kind of love. I might if it's one of my own kids. But do I have that just for who he chooses to heal? I might not even know that person. So my love isn't big enough. And then this one really gets me. What if it's my imagination? Because if I had my way, I'd have all kinds of stuff happen. You know, I'd go out on the street and change everybody, you know. Oh, you're addicted. Not anymore. Bam, gone, you know.
Right.
So I want that kind of miracle. I love crazy people. I grew up around a mental hospital. I want them to become normal. I believe, a married one, I believe for them. That was our joke in high school when I was a teacher and the teenagers met him.
Really?
And he's being all wild and crazy, you know, and he was preaching. And they went, Mrs. Hampton, I can't believe, you know, that's your husband. And I went, well, I grew up playing with mental patients and I wanted one of my own. So I got one. But seriously, I grew up with mental patients. My mom and dad both worked at that hospital. They brought them home to dinner. I went up there. I loved them. And when I got saved, it was like, they can be made normal. God, you could make them normal. You could heal them. But he didn't. And because he didn't, when I asked him to, I stopped believing.
Right.
And then it was like, I want to see one of them. I don't want them near me. Because I felt hopeless. Not because I don't care. Because I did care and couldn't fix them.
Right.
And I'm a fixer. But we want things to happen, so then we think, is God saying he will, or am I imagining it? Am I making it up? And then we doubt. These are seeds of doubt. So where do seeds of faith come from?
Word of God.
Word of God. They come from Scripture. They come from a now word spoken in the Spirit. They come from confirmation. And what is he doing right now? He's giving us Scripture. He's speaking these words to us. He's giving us the confirmation. And he's going to grow faith seeds this year.
Enjoy a lot. For the Lord and our strength and strength.
Yeah.
Steve, what we can do is make him joyful.
What'd you say, Nate? Could we what? Include people. The glory of the Lord is through us. I mean, I can use the mic. I have to repeat everything you say.
Check 1, 2. Yep. No, that's wrong. That's YouTube.
Talking about 2 Corinthians 4:7.
Mm-hmm. I am. I mean, really, you got to read. I like, you know, verse 6. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I'm just posing, could we include people? I mean, we're sitting here listening to your word today, you.
Well, and that's what I said, confirmation of people.
Right.
When people preach it, when prophets speak it, when God brings it through people, when he brings it through the written word, when he brings it through the Holy Spirit inside, these are things that plant these seeds of faith. That's why I'm so excited. He gave us words over there. He led us to John 11. He's telling us, this is what I'm doing this year.
Right
there is planting faith seeds. Right there, he's planting them in us.
Right. So I just didn't want to, am I correct, though? I mean, I didn't want to leave that out. I mean, I think that's important, too, that we...
It's easy to believe it when we know that he said it.
Right.
And that's what we have to know, that we know what he's saying. When he brought a young man to our house, before the man got there, never met him, God said, he has cancer. I'm going to heal him completely. Take him to the cross tonight. First get him saved. Lead him to me. Take him to the cross. Put his hand on the cross. Declare his cancer's gone, and it will be. He told us exactly. We did exactly. And the young man was healed. When
first
you
saved.
Know that you know you've got the word.
First
yeah, he got saved, and then he got healed, just the way God said. But when we don't have that faith, that word to hang on, you've got to have a word to hang on to.
In other words, the Bible tells us what's available. The Holy Spirit tells us right now. Happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you get that word, you have to speak it. You have to speak it. You know, I'm excited. I have learned so much the power in what we're speaking when he says speak it. And he stirs us to speak things. And yesterday when I got stirred to say, while I'm under that knife for 5 hours, I want a heavenly experience. I want to come into your presence like never before and have a heavenly experience. Then the women are praying for me this morning, and they're praying, while you're in surgery, we're praying you have the most awesome dreams with God. And Glenn is stepping up and saying, you're after the surgery, you're going to have something of God you didn't have before. Is that how you worded it? And I'm going, they're confirming what he led me to ask him for.
Right.
So you can bring it back.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to reach my one grandson, Trent. I hope you're listening to this. And God reminds me that when Trent was a little boy, we're outside looking at the sky, and Trent said, we're talking about God making a new heaven and earth one day, and Trent said, when he makes his new heaven, I hope he lets me help him color the sky new colors. And I said, I think he will let you do that because you want to. I don't think anybody else ever asked him for that one. So I got on Facebook and messaged my grandson and said, do you remember? And I brought that back to his mind because it was a moment that he wanted to connect with God.
Right.
And he remembered it. And I said, what were the colors you liked? And he started naming the colors. He wants to redo the sky, you know. It'd be pretty bright. Y'all need sunglasses, by the way. But it brought him back into a moment with God, you know. He causes us to want these things. He causes us to ask him. I have expectation. I'm not going to be in darkness for 5 hours. I'm going to be having a good time. I might be whining like a baby when I come out and wake up. As soon as I get over that, I hope to remember the visitation. Yeah, I'll probably sit there and go, I don't know anything.
Well, when you get there, if there's anything that you want from me, get it while you're there.
I doubt I'll be, I think I'll be out of control, actually. You know, and I told you this was going to be long. I have to do Ephesians 3. I have to do Ephesians 3 because I have prayed Ephesians 3 over this church for years. And I love Ephesians 3. You know, how many favorites can I have? John 17, John 11, Ephesians 3. How many? I'm like Harvey. The one I'm in is my favorite, I guess. But those three are really awesome. Ephesians 3. This is more of a prayer. This, I thought at first this was just for Harvey and I to go over Ephesians 3 again because it basically comes down to praying for the church. But then I saw some things in it that I said it's more than that. It says Ephesians 3, 1 through 21, for this cause, for everything we've shared here today, I, Osha, and Giante. See, we have different names with God. Osha is my official in position minister name. Giante is his. And we got Shia, which is pet name, and Bashi, his little Bashi. He wasn't talking about our little pet intimacy names. He's talking about our position name of who we are in this body. For this cause, all that God has shown us, and for Burning Bush Church and all of her outreaches, if you, church, if you have heard, if you have opened your spiritual ears and heard that God has a plan, He has shown this and confirmed it to you, this dispensation of this grace of God, which is given to Harvey and I towards you. We have an administration here to bring this to you today. If you hear that, there's one more seed of faith. God told our apostle and head prophet, He told them to bring us this word today. There's a seed of faith in that. How that by revelation He made known unto me this mystery. And man, that just jumps up and down inside of me. The visions I've had with Him this past week. How these revelations came. How real they are. What a season we're going into here. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We're going into something never revealed before.
Right.
There it is. There it is. There it is. For Paul, it was. Paul's whole revelation he's writing about here tells you what it is, that the Gentiles should become part of the body of Christ. That was a big revelation. But that's not our revelation. Our revelation is resurrection life in us, in all that God's getting ready to do here. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should get to preach this at Burning Bush, these unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. He is getting ready to do something new through Burning Bush that no other church age has seen. There you go. To the intent, there's a reason. Now, unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And that faith is about to grow. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Well, I pray you faint not at your tribulations either that are for this body. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you, every single one of you hearing this, Burning Bush, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And that means to eagerly take hold, seize, possess, attain to, perceive it, find it, own it, and live in it with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know, experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we're after, right there. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Can you even imagine all that we're even thinking right now after all this revelation? All that we're able to think, exceeding abundantly above that, what He's going to do. According to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
I got from 14 to 21 in the Bible where it says prayer for inner growth.
Yeah. I have prayed that prayer. I have that printed on my wall at home, so I remember to keep praying it for this church. And that's how he concluded our message today. He's going to answer that Ephesians prayer for burning bush. That's my expectation. Verse 12. I like all of them, but what's 12? Let's see. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. We're going to. Anybody else want to say anything?
I like the first three words of verse 20.
Say them.
Now. Unto him.
Unto him. Be glory, and let's get that owning that saying this year.
Glory
to God be the glory. Glory be to God, and this I'm going through. God, glorify yourself in me. I want to glorify you. Glory to God.
She was sharing that the other day about giving glory to God, doing this in the hard stuff. I said, it just started jumping in my spirit.
Yeah.
I said, that's what he's been having me do. All day I keep saying, I can't do this. And I run into something.
And that's when you sang that little song.
Glory to God. And then I'm singing the song. But I just keep saying, whenever I run into, you know, it's like, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, what's next? Glory to God. How do I do this? Glory to God. I can't do this.
How do I do this? As worship unto him.
Right.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Okay.
Yeah,
more
saying.
Worship
over
unto God.
And over.
More worship. We're going to be saying that to each other all year. When somebody comes up to you of this group and says, I can't do this, as glory to God, do it as worship.
Count
on God. That's right.
We were talking about raising the dead. I had a dream one time. I guess that was... Dad hadn't died yet, but I had this dream that he had died, and we were in the funeral home, and he was in the casket, and we were all sitting there waiting for the service, and all of a sudden he sprung up, sat up, and looked out at us, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, probably everybody was. They were so surprised. He just sat up, and he was alive.
Wonder if there's a prophecy in that.
I don't know.
Because I've had dreams where my dad was there, you know, where he was alive again. I'm going, oh, you're here. You're alive again.
Sometimes it does happen.
Yeah.
You're in a home, they still spring up.
Yeah, that's a nerve reaction, yeah. What you got, Nate? So you got that mic over there. What you got, Mike, man? Turn it on.
I would like to say this because God's listening. We've had other words in the past, and it's all good, and God uses them. But Harvey says, you know, the Spirit sows to the Spirit, it witnesses to the Spirit. And I would pose a question for all of you. Doesn't this in your spirit feel healthy? Like
real.
Like why? This is real. This is like this isn't a passing phase, or you know what? Maybe I don't even know if I would call it a season, or I don't know. It's very real. And it just in my spirit it bears witness that it's strong and that it's healthy what we're involved with right now, and it's somewhere where we haven't been before as a group, and and we take this to heart and we play with it and we practice it and we fall down and we get hurt and we get back up. And but I know if we do all that, we're going to see an acceleration in the Spirit very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's other things going on too, you know, and like, be, you know, rubber meeting the road, let's just all be honest. Man, dude, we haven't been at the level we haven't been at the level that we haven't been in the light where we thought we were. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know
we've been living on that someday faith and not
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, yeah. And this whole expectation thing, this whole, it's like I just know it's healthy in my spirit, or I'm not hearing it, and it's like, dude, just look out, because we're in trouble,
yeah.
In a good way. Like, God's going to, see, like, he's going to go, all right, man, that was permission for me to invade your privacy, you know?
And I would encourage you to keep reading those words over there, month by month. Keep reading them, believing them, and keep reading Ephesians 3. That's another thing I just kept getting, even in writing my calendars, telling people, read it every day till you own it.
Would we dare to ask God to embarrass us?
Yeah.
Would
absolutely.
We all? Because we're all.
I know that what
this,
I know.
This is the leadership right here.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking to all those people. I'm talking to us. Would you dare to say, Lord, I dare you to come and embarrass me of what
absolutely.
I think,
come
of what I
God.
Know,
humiliate
of, what,
me,
of how I've acted, of how I've done things.
You don't take my makeup off. I mean, that's just going too far. I know that. I know.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, and it's just a little simple thing about we're just going further in the path of righteousness. We just keep going into that righteousness of God, and the more deeper we get into it, the more and more we will be in His presence, the more we'll be into what He's doing for today.
I'm so excited to know it doesn't mean I have to get any more righteous.
Right, right.
What a relief not to try to be good enough.
It's not our
there.
Righteous anyway.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
That's what the whole part
take
of it
that
is.
Burden
is
off.
We put too much of our righteousness in,
exactly.
into it. And,
yeah. I feel like in my spirit that we, as part of the body, are more in oneness with Christ now than
yes.
we have been.
Yes, we are. Exactly. What's what happened in say. The past year, this team right here, man.
As worship unto you, glory to God in whatever I'm going through. We have to have a word from God to base our faith on. Then the opposite will happen. But it is for the glory of God. There is a purpose in our pain, a reason for our suffering, and that makes it bearable. We have to trust in His love for us. We have Jesus living inside of us, resurrection life. I know that even now, whatever you say will happen. I have to walk in the light of what He's doing and saying now. I put Widow of Nain. I haven't had time to look up Widow of Nain yet, but I'm getting ready to do something, God says, that my body won't believe me for. So I have to build faith in you by taking you through some things so you will believe, so I can move through you like never before. He's getting ready to speak resurrection life belief in us. Will you train the 12? Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Love is what all of this hinges on. He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
I would comment on what you said about unity. It's not been a year. It's been very quickly. It's been over the past weeks or months, or maybe when I say months, maybe two. And they're to build our faith. See, there's an acceleration when we get a hold of tapping into a truth, an environment, a switch in our paradigms. a permission, like I said, from that gives God permission to move quickly.
It's like we opened a door and he came through. Well, I'm going to go back before that, because a couple of times before that, where we decided to start speaking into one another the things that we love about each other, mm-hmm. I think it started then. Yeah.
But even when Doug was
that was a breakthrough night. That was a breakthrough. Yeah.
Yep.